when Krishna talks about four types of bhaktas, bhaktaha, a devotee, is adjective, the noun is bhaktihi, you know, devotion. What is devotion? Being devoted to something means, being committed to something means, now having love for something. Love for, being committed to something means being devoted to something means having love for something. Isn't it? So love for the Lord is what? Devotion, bhaktihi. Love for the Lord means what? What is Lord? Who is Lord here? Suppose if anybody will say, if we say, I have a great love for Krishna, means which Krishna? A great love for Rama, a great love for Jesus Christ. It is all emotional business, isn't it? So love for the Lord means love for the reality. Love for the reality means love for fullness, love for happiness. Love for happiness means love for the self. Atmanastu kamaya sarvam priyam bhavati. Love for anything is in fact love for happiness, love for one's own self. Satyam. You know that this is the fact, whether we like it or not. That's why love for Bhagavan means is bhaktihi. Love for Bhagavan is expressed. Desire for Bhagavan is expressed. Okay? In the form of praying, in the form of worshipping, etc. In the form of serving, service to society also. That is why we say love for Bhagavan alone is expressed in form of love for anything. I love to serve, I love to know, I love to do this, I like to do it. No, I love to do this means what? Anything you do, ultimately for what? For happiness. Well, love for Bhagavan, isn't it? It is bhakti, you say. And here, suppose we are worshipping the Lord. Okay, suppose I pray to the Lord, I worship the Lord, you know, then for what? What do I worship the Lord for? What do I pray to the Lord for? That makes me, you know, which type of bhakta I am, really. You know, if I worship the Lord, I pray to the Lord just to have all my problems alleviated, removed, you know, for the removal of the distress I go through, suffering I go through, the pains I go through in my life, then I seek Bhagavan's help and support and grace for what? For removal of my distress alone. And my prayer is only for getting my problems solved. Nothing wrong. You can always pray to the Lord. The best thing you can do is when you go through problems, prayer. You cannot do but anything better than prayer when you really go through emotionally or physically or socially, economically, whatever problems you are going through. The best thing, of course, you do the needful. You think well, you do the needful. But even then, to think correctly, to do things correctly, and not to react to things, situations when they happen, and to respond them prudently, to avoid all sorts of damages, you need some clarity here. For that, you need Bhagavan's grace. Then you can pray to Bhagavan. Definitely, prayer is the best thing one has to do. Isn't it? So, anybody can do. So one who prays to the Lord only when he is in trouble, and when he is okay, he forgets Bhagavan, then he no prayer and no worship. It is not a regular feature in his life. Only when they disturb, because nothing else he can do. And he prays means what? He is called Artha Bhaktaha. Artha Bhaktaha. Artihi in Sanskrit language means distress. Artihi. Artihi na tunbam, vedanai, vartam. Artihi, distress. Sorrow, isn't it? Artaha the distressed, you know, suffering the devotee, now the miserable devotee is what now? Artha Bhaktaha. He is a devotee because at least he prays, at least when he is in trouble, he is praying to the Lord. He is a devotee, that's all. We don't say anything good or bad about the person. He is a devotee because he prays, at least somewhere he recognizes. He seeks the grace of something to get his problems solved. There is no clarity or anything. And there is another type of other person who is called Arthi Bhaktaha. Arthaha number one, number two is Arthi Bhaktaha. No, Arthihi distress, like here, Arthaha means all forms of wealth and prosperity is what? Arthaha. Anything which makes one feel secure is what? Arthaha. What one pursues for security is Arthaha, isn't it? So, the Arthaha means, you can understand, any companionship, company it makes you feel secure, all is what? Artha only. Isn't anything which makes you feel secure is Artha. So here, that Artha again, and people, there are people who do not want to lose the Artha they already have, and they want to gain the Artha they do not have. Okay? Not to lose what one already has, and to gain what one does not have, Artha, okay, for one's security, is what now? That's called, that he seeks Bhagavan's grace. He prays to Bhagavan. Isn't it? Or then such a person is called Arthi Bhaktaha, one who seeks Bhagavan's support and grace, now help for preserving the Artha, the security he already has, not to lose this Artha, security he already has, or to have, you know, something which will make him feel more secure and all that. When he seeks Bhagavan's help only for security, you know, then he is Arthi Bhaktaha. He also prays regularly or occasionally, he prays for security. He may not have big problems. It's called Arthi Bhaktaha. And the third type of devotee, these two devotees are just devotees. They are religious people because they worship and pray. But they may not be ethical also in their lives. They may not be righteous. They may be ethical, they may not be ethical. They may not be, but still they are religious. Why? They are worshipping the Lord, they are praying to the Lord. Isn't it? Therefore, the Artha Bhakta and Arthi Bhakta are religious, but may be or may not be religious, ethical. And they are not spiritual also. They are religious, but not spiritual. They may be or may not be ethical. And the third type of Bhaktaha is who now? Jignyasu Bhaktaha. I told you the nouns, no? Artihi, Artaha. Artaha, Arthi. Remember that now. Noun and adjectives. You have to remember that. Here, Jignyasa, Jignyasuhu. Jignyasa means desire to know. In Sanskritam, we call it desiderative. Desire to know. Desire to write. Desire to talk. One word we can make it. Called desiderative, isn't it? Desire to know is what? Jignyasa. Vividisha. Vetum Icha. Vividisha. Gyatum Icha. Jignyasa. Arya Virupam. When you say desire to know, desire for knowing is what? Jignyasa. And one who has the desire to know the Lord, one who is desirous of knowing who the Lord is, because he is a thinker. What is this Lord? What is this God? Who this God is? Where is this God? Is there a God? Okay? Is there a Lord? One starts thinking. And then what is this worship? What is this prayer? Is this prayer efficacious? Is it useful? Is it worth spending time in prayer? What is this worship? What is the significance of worship? Is it useful? If everything is the Lord, and who is the one who is praying to? Who is the one who is prayed to? What is this act of praying? What is this act of worship? No, the one who starts, one who is a thinker. And if Lord is everything, why all are not the same? All cannot be the same. You know that all need not be the same. Also, Bhagavan also likes, you know, the variety. Isn't it? So all are not the same, even though all are one, all are not equal, all are not the same, isn't it? All are different, and different people go through different problems also. And if lifestyles are not the same, stand of life led by people is not the same. There are some people who are suffering, and some people who have luxurious life. You know, people enjoy luxury, there are people suffering and pain and diseased and sick. Why? All the differences in life. One who starts thinking, and started thinking, the thinker is the one who really, and who also knows what is this sorrow all about. Okay? Why there is pain? And such a person who has the thinker, you know, is the one who analyzes and arrives it with the help of the Shastram, who knows the difference between Purusharthas, Artha, Kama, Dharma, Moksha. You know? These are the Purusharthas. These are the human pursuits. There's no fifth pursuit. Okay, the human being is the only person who needs to pursue things. Okay, other beings are all okay. They're living their life, the programmed life. Isn't it? So human being alone has pursuits. That is what we call human pursuits. Purusharthas, not mrigartha, not pakshiartha. Isn't it? We call purusharthas because human being alone has all the purusharthas, these pursuits. They are all human pursuits. And of the four pursuits, what are all the relative ends? What is the absolute end? That difference also he must be very clear. No, artha and kama are the relative ends needed to live this life. The life is lived ultimately to discover the reality, which is, no, that is at the absolute end, which is moksha. Discovery of the reality is, in fact, discovery of moksha. Therefore, end and the means are identical. Discovery of moksha is attainment of moksha. And discovery of moksha is what? In fact, discovery of the reality is the discovery of moksha. Discovery of moksha is the attainment of moksha. Therefore, moksha, that's what now? Ultimate end. So, absolute end is moksha, which is the form of discovery of the reality as the self. That is the purpose of living this life. Therefore, artha and kama are the relative ends which serve as means to accomplish the ultimate end, which are needed to live this life. Isn't it? And that artha kama, definitely one must pursue in conformity with dharma, ultimately for moksha. Otherwise, because moksha is in the form of knowledge, it is not something to be attained. Therefore, knowledge has to dawn in the mind, for which the mind has to be calm and serene. The mind should be free from all turbulence. For the turbulence free, calm, relative, serene mind, one must be mentally pure also. The impure mind cannot be turbulence free mind. All them planning and scheming and then thinking, disturbed mind. Therefore, the pure mind alone can be a calm, serene mind. Only in the serene mind, the knowledge of the reality can take place, dawn, because reality is never away from the mind. Discovery of what is near, there as the nearest self is what? The discovery, isn't it? Moksha. Therefore, that mind needs to be calm and serene and tranquil. That for that mental tranquility required for the, you know, conducive patram, wherein the knowledge can dawn, for which the mind must be pure. For that mental purity and mental steadiness, in fact, the only way is to live a life of values. Therefore, one who knows the value of dharma, one who has purushartha nischayaha, one who is clear about the absolute end being moksha, one who is clear about the artha kamas being the relative ends, one who knows the value of knowledge, thereby knowing the value of knowledge, one who knows the value of dharma also, thereby one who lives his life pursuing artha and kama in conformity with dharma, ultimately for knowledge, which is moksha, is the jignasu bhaktaha. He is a viveki. Understand now, a discriminate person. He is still viveki, means what? He is not nitya nitya vastu viveka, he doesn't have. Dharma adharma viveki. Okay, dharma adharma viveki. Therefore, he is a discriminate person who knows the value of dharma. Therefore, who lives a total, completely conscious, alert life. Very, very alert. The life, he is completely, his life is completely dharma governed life. I told you, this person is the one, Jigyasu Bhakta is the one who wants to know who Bhagavan is. Who can be the one who is interested in knowing the Bhagavan? One who knows the value of the knowledge of who Bhagavan is. If you do not know the value of knowledge, why should you be interested in knowing? Isn't it? We don't want to waste our time in doing something which is useless. Not even knowing the purpose of doing something. We will never do something without knowing the purpose. We are committed to study, committed to the pursuit of study means what? We are committed to the pursuit of knowledge. Why are we committed to the pursuit of knowledge? Because we know the value of knowledge. We know the greatest value of what we are going to gain as a fruit of knowledge. Isn't it? Jnana phalam, we know that. Only know the value of knowledge, you will be committed to the pursuit of knowledge. So the one who knows the value of knowledge, one who has purushartha nischaya, thereby one who knows the value of knowledge, thereby one who is committed to the pursuit of knowledge, thereby one who knows the value of dharma, thereby one who is committed to live a life of dharma, isn't it? Is a person jignasu bhaktaha. Jigyasu Bhaktaha. And he is said to be a real devotee. Jigyasu Bhaktaha. Isn't it? So one has surrendered his will to dharma. This is relatively, one who has surrendered relatively is Jigyasu Bhaktaha. And this person, by living this life like this, lives a life of karma yoga. Okay? Or if he entertains the meditative disposition, and he can live a life of sannyasa also. Two lifestyles. A sannyasi is a jignasu bhaktaha. A karma yogi also is a jignasu bhaktaha. A karma yogi is still preparing his mind for meditation. And sannyasi is the one who is meditative. Both are jignasu bhaktas. Two lifestyles, isn't it? So they are real devotees. Doesn't matter. And by living that life, now one gains the knowledge of Brahman. One has the vision of the reality revealed in his mind. He is called Jnani. Jnani Bhaktaha. Jnani Bhaktaha means what? The one who sees all that is there is only Brahman. One who does not see a second thing other than the Lord, one who sees everything as the Lord, isn't it? By his vision, he is the Jnani Bhaktaha. Ellam Irevane. One does not see a second thing other than the Lord. When you say all that is, there is only Brahman, only the Lord, when you say, we were just talking about it, then where are you now? Where is I? Where is your body? Where are your thoughts? Where are you? Which of you is here now? The one who really has the vision of the reality in his own sort of mind as the, such a person, Jnani, in whose understanding, very clear, doubtful understanding, all that is here is only Brahman, the Lord. All that is here is only the Lord. There's no second thing other than the Lord. That vision is what? In that vision, he has resolved the whole jagat, means he has resolved what? His ahankara. Ahankara means what? All the wrong notions about the self, been resolved. His body is included in the mind, in the jagat. His mind is included in the jagat. His senses are included in the mind. His pranas are included in the jagat, isn't it? The whole individual, subtle and gross, which constitute the individual, has been reduced, resolved, has become what now? Part of the jagat. Whole jagat is Ishvara, Brahman, reality. That means what? Individuality also has been resolved in the totality, isn't it? Not physically, in terms of cognitively. Isn't it? Cognitively, one has resolved one's ahankara, one has resolved one's identity, one has resolved one's, all the wrong notions about the self, one resolved the individuality in the totality, because the whole is Ishvara. Isn't it? He is a Jnani Bhaktaha. One who does not see a second thing other than the Lord is a Jnani Bhaktaha. So he is the best of the devotees. Sreshtaha Bhaktaha. Understand? Actually, in Bhagavatam, there is a saying, who is a devotee? Bhagavataha. Who is a Bhagavata Uttamaha? What is this? No, who is a Bhagavata? Who is a Bhagavata Uttamaha? Who is a devotee and who is best of the devotees? He says, one who sees Bhagavan in one's mind is a Bhagavataha. One who sees himself in Bhagavan is the Bhagavata Uttamaha. Beautiful, isn't it? That is Srimad Bhagavatam says that. One who sees oneself in Bhagavan. That means what? One who does not isolate himself from Bhagavan is what? Bhagavatottama. One is Bhagavan and oneself is what? Bhagavataha. Tannil irevane kandavan, tannaye irevanla kandavanna. See that, so the difference, Advaita Drishti, how Bhagavatam brings in. Same thing Nayanmar says. You know what I'm saying? So this is the Jnani Bhaktaha. So Jnani Bhaktaha means the best of the devotees, the one who sees only Bhagavan is the best of the devotees. Therefore, Jnanam is the most exalted form of worship. You know that? Most exalted form of worship is what? Knowledge. Because culmination of devotion is knowledge. Devotion should culminate in what? In vision of Bhagavan, being the whole. Isn't it? This is Jnani Bhaktaha. Because today, this question he asked, something relevant to our class also. Even though there is nothing to do with the Upanishad text I did, I want to say this.
Ishvara and Saguna Brahman.
Same. When you say Jagat is, whenever Jagat is brought in, you have to immediately think of what? Maya Shakti. What is Maya Shakti? The power, isn't it? The creative power. What is creative power? Creative power is the matter in its incomprehensible, subtlest form. Why I say incomprehensible? It is even the cause of the mind. Isn't it? The mind which wants to know itself is what? Already the product of that power, Shakti. Isn't it? That's what, that power, where is it, that power? The power, we say, power is a word. For us, again, when you say the word power, we think something of something gross only. Because for us, energy also is subtle. Isn't it? Energy is subtle. Energy also is gross when compared to, when you talk from the standpoint of power, what is energy is gross actually. The Shakti, the power, means absolute power, which has all the three powers, the power of knowing, the power of inertia, the power of activity, all the three powers are together as one power. That power is what? Incomprehensible, imperceptible. Why it is imperceptible? It is the very causal state of, that is the cause, isn't it? Of the mind. And that power, where does that power exist? Where is it power? That power has no independent existence. Is it clear now? The power has no independent existence. The power has no independent existence. That means what? The power is in fact the reality. Reality is not the power, power is reality. Isn't it? That reality, what? That's why it's a powerful, we say.